Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, how about Rachel? Huh? Just watching MSNBC. Somebody sent me an email earlier today. I'm not at liberty to say who. And she said, or the email said that she had been selected by MSNBC. This is, I don't mean to suggest they made the decision today, but having just spent the last weekend with Rachel and a lot of other folks involved in liberal talk, progressive talk, or democratic talk, or whatever the hell we are, I don't know what this crew was. It was out in Seattle. I like them all, but but having just spent the better part of short weekend with Rachel, I just want to reiterate what I've said before. She really is a good person, and I wish her greatest success in the world. If anybody deserves it, it's Rachel Maddow. I'm sure her parents would be thrilled too. And I think her, was her grand, no, I don't think her grandmother was out there. Grandmother's in her 90s, but her parents were in Seattle, so we got a chance to talk with them again. Nice person, Rachel Maddow. Great success. We hope you get it on MSNBC. Couple of emails. I'll tell you what I want to do tonight. There are an awful lot of things that are occurring out there. We didn't get to the Mashaaf resignation the other day, one step ahead of the impeachment lynch mob. Of course, Mashaaf and Bush have been running a scam on not just the American people, but also on pretty much the rest of the world since the attack in this country on September 11, 2001. And prior to that, A.Q. Khan, the guy who has been sharing Pakistan's nuclear weaponry secrets with anyone who had the money, and all that was covered up by the Bush crime family. Mashaaf is a criminal. He's a real nasty son of a bitch. You know what I'm saying? And that means he fit in perfectly with Bush and Cheney. That part of the story has barely been told. I don't know that it will be told in its entirety. But Bush working with Mashaaf, or Cheney working with Mashaaf, guaranteed safe havens for Osama bin Laden and the so-called al-Qaeda in the frontier areas between Pakistan and Afghanistan. That was a given. There was no way in hell that bin Laden or any of the al-Qaeda top lieutenants were ever going to be caught as long as they had protection from Mashaaf. And the only reason that Mashaaf has stepped down now is because the Taliban, which is deeply embedded in the ISI and the Pakistan military forces, the ISI is their secret service, the Taliban demanded that he step down. It has nothing to do with Bush, has nothing to do with Cheney, nothing to do with the war on terror. It does have to do with the fact that we're about to see Pakistan with its completed nuclear weapons program, its nuclear bombs. Pakistan will now rest in the hands, the governance of that country will rest in the hands of the Taliban and the Taliban sympathizers. There is no question about this. This is a fait accompli. It's a done deal. It's already happened. So look for tremendous, tremendous stress to start building along the fault lines between Pakistan and India. I would not be the least bit surprised if within the next couple of weeks, months at the latest, India and Pakistan are put on trigger alert. The Pakistanis, the leadership now will be hardcore fundamentalist Muslim. There are enough fundamentalist Muslims inside India to constitute a fifth column, and the Indian government, of course, is chock-a-block with fundamentalist Hindus, and there are enough flashpoints between India and Pakistan that it's just good. You know, get a great big bowl of popcorn, put on your radioactive protection suit, go to your bomb shelter and just watch everything on TV until the screens start going. Once that happens, you'll know that, yeah, there has been a thermonuclear exchange somewhere in the world. It's just getting out of hand, isn't it? But I digress. So there's that. There is the Mashaaf resignation. I also read today that the Saudis are saying, no, he's not coming here. The plan was, apparently, for, like most of these criminals, to wind up in either Dubai or Oman or the United Arab Emirates or Kuwait or Saudi Arabia, someplace over there where all the money is. It's all coastal, low-lying areas. So, you know, with any luck, a great earthquake that just sections that whole part of the world off, coming down from the Caucasus into Turkey. What a cleansing motion that would be, huh? I don't wish that on innocent civilians. I'm just saying there seems to be a huge magnetic attraction now for international war criminals to gravitate toward that part of the world. So Musharraf was on his way there. Apparently, that was the plan. Step down, and our friends in the Saudi royal family will take care of you, Pervez. I'm sure that was the word that came from the Bush crime family. But the Saudis, feeling kind of froggy lately. They don't need the United States. Everybody knows the United States is a former great power that still has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of nuclear bombs, but really has no more influence anywhere on Earth. The dollar has been tanked. American prestige is in the crapper. The American military has been reduced to fighting wars of opportunity for the American oil companies, and in the process completely decimated the American military. Bush and Cheney have done this amazing job of destroying the country. Well, Americans, you see, we don't realize that yet. I mean, you do. I know you do, and so do I. But the average American really doesn't quite get that yet. You know, it's like, oh, hey, we got election coming up in less than 3 months. I'm voting for Obama. Who you voting for? Oh, I'm voting for McCain. Oh, really? Well, damn, you must be crazy. No, you're crazy. No, you are. No, your mama is. You know, I mean, here we sit, right? And it really doesn't matter. I mean, we're at that point where it concerns the U.S. prestige or thrust or influence in the rest of the world. It doesn't make a damn bit of difference at this point. It does not. What about 200,000 people in Berlin for Obama? Hey, that was wonderful. I'm sure that the people turned out, but hey, man, let's go see this guy. This is amazing. He is so the anti-Bush. He is so not George Bush. Let's go see him. Okay, fine. That was great. But the forces in play now that have been unleashed by Bush and Cheney are, you know, beyond anything Barack Obama can do. Let's be real. That's why I keep saying inside my own head, I don't say it on the air anymore because you people get rabid. But I think McCain ought to get it. Just give it to the son of a bitch. Let him have it. And then everybody, like I said, get a bowl of popcorn, head for the bomb shelter, put on your radioactive suit, get the kids and old ladies off the streets and just sit there and wait until you can't wait anymore. I don't know. As I've said a million times in this program, I have absolutely no questions, no answers, lots of questions. I don't know what the hell is going on any more than you do. I just know that all of a sudden everything seems screwed up. You know, I get up this morning, open the New York Times. Jesus God, every single story. You know, the Kurds up in Kirkuk in northern Iraq, that's ready to explode now. Between the Iraqis and the Kurds, the Kurds and the Turks. The situation in Georgia, the Russians now are taking Georgia soldiers prisoner. I don't think the Russians are going to stop until they get Saakashvili and bring him into Moscow and put him on trial for war crimes. In the meantime, hey, whatever happened to Iran and the U.S. Navy? Huh? Is that still going on? Yeah, I think it is. Well, okay. Great big old naval presence over there in the Persian Gulf. If you listen close, listen. Shh, 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 listen. Hear that? What do you think that ticking is? Yeah, that's right. It's the situation in the Persian Gulf. We can just keep going and going and going. and it's getting spookier and spookier and spookier. So I'll tell you what, tonight, I think what we better do is take some phone calls and let's hear from you folks. I want to hear you then. I don't hear anything about, you know, the Trilateral Commission and that crap. You know, just... If you have a comment about what's going on, if you've been listening to or read the news today, and you're sitting there thinking, Jesus God, and you want to bring this stuff up, let's do it. Come on, 800-989-1480. Now's the time. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
The highest and the hip, so hypocritical, high crimes and misery.
21 past the hour. The other thing here, I just got an email from Beth. There is there's an article circulating here. News reports circulating in the Kremlin today are stating that Prime Minister Putin and his puppet President Medvedev have jointly ordered Russia's strategic missile troops to begin the encirclement of the United States with a, quote, nuclear noose, end quote, in preparation for all-out war with American military forces. Sparking the fears of Russian leaders, these reports state, were conversations held this past week between Putin and former U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, wherein Mr. Kissinger stated that the likelihood of Senator John McCain's ascending to the presidency of the United States was all but assured. Russian policy analysts have long considered McCain a McCain-led U.S. government as a continuation of Bush's foreign policy for an American-led implementation of the so-called New World Order, blah, 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 blah. You know, you can believe as much of this as you want to. Further enraging Russian leaders was the announcement this past week that U.S. and Canada are jointly cooperating in an attempt to wrest vital Arctic resources away from Russia in an attempt to control the last source of new oil reserves remaining on our energy-starved planet. Blah, 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 blah. Western reports are further stating that Russian military forces have moved into Georgia SS-21 missile launchers and that Russia plans the deployment of SS-26 missiles in Syria and the Baltic enclave of Kaliningrad. Jesus, God. Well, I don't know, folks. I don't know. It's kind of weird, isn't it? It's kind of weird. This is from Roberta. She writes, I'm a 71-year-old granny of six and mother of five, and like so many grandparents, I worry about the future of this nation, welfare of our children, and so forth. Since 2000, I've been reading, searching, and trying to find the truth, and now, after all those books purchased at Barnes & Noble and Amazon, I believe that we have had a coup in this country, a fascist coup that started during the Reagan years. Well, no, it really started during World War II, Roberta writes, when we imported all those brilliant Nazi minds. It is fascinating, though sick, how well they have structured this nightmare and brought this nation to its knees. We are now in its total grip. I remember reading somewhere along the way, quote, since I entered politics, I have chiefly had men's views confided to me privately. Some of the biggest men in the United States, in the fields of commerce and manufacturing, are afraid of something, are afraid of somebody. They know that there's a power somewhere so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive, that they had better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it, end quote. You know who said that? Woodrow Wilson. Enough said, Roberta writes. Stay sane if you can, and keep up your good work, Mike. Roberta. I didn't know Woodrow Wilson said that. Brrr, that's kind of scary. A bigger thing. The other thing I found very interesting today, before we get your phone calls, this is a quick segment, so just get comfortably online, and then we'll do it coming back after the break here, is the possibility that Barack Obama is going to choose Joe Biden as his running mate, and that McCain is going to choose Joe Lieberman as his running mate. See, it's sports. It's, you know, who is going to be number one in the NFL draft? Who's going to be number four in the NBA draft? Huh? Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? Blah, blah, blah. Like any of this stuff matters. I mean, it does. It does make a difference in terms of whether or not someone comes across, one of these two candidates comes across as having the beginnings of a team that will really, truly, honestly attempt to lead this country out of this fourth ring of hell that we find ourselves in right now. But Joe Biden and Joe Lieberman? Lieberman? McCain-Lieberman? Oh, wait a minute. Didn't the right wing call him loser man? Back in 2000, when he and Al Gore actually won the presidency of the United States, What is it going to be now? McCain and loser? This has become a freak show. Do you understand? It's a freak show. I'm waiting for someone to put together a political ad that says, hiya, 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 step right up, ladies and gentlemen, see the blind see the lame walk. Come on, step into the tent. We have a 500-year-old elephant boy in here for you. Hiya, hiya, step right up, ladies and gentlemen, for 25 cents, a fourth of a dollar. Step into the U2. Ma'am, you can come in. Step out of the way, son. Let the gentleman pay. Paying, come through. Come in, come on in, folks. Hiya, hiya. We'll take a break and be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Twenty-six before the hour. All right, regardless of the veracity of the article I just shared with you regarding Putin and Medvedev deciding they're going to put a nuclear necklace around the United States. Jesus Christ. Regardless of all that... who sent this to me? Oh, Prairie 2. I should use his real name, but he keeps signing off as Prairie 2, so I'll let it at that. Hey, Mike, Putin and Medvedev have issued a joint statement to the effect that they intend to confront the predatory trading blocks. They intend to ramp up their strategic nuclear forces and build more nuclear aircraft carriers and extend their protection to their trading partners. Venezuela has said they will welcome a visit from the Russian fleet. So what does the shoe lady come up with to punish Russia for embarrassing Bush in the Republic of Georgia? Well, the Bush crime family will deny Russia entry into the World Trade Organization. That has to be making them roll on the floor in the Kremlin. The dollar is tanking. U.S. banks are collapsing. Russia exports oil. The U.S. imports 70% of its oil. When a right-winger tells you that if you don't like it here, move to Russia, give it some thought. Oh, my God. So that's how the shoe lady is going to punish the Russians? We're not going to let you in the trade organization. We're not going to let you in the trade organization. Yeah, 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 yeah. Jesus, God, please. Is there any way to stop this? Is there any single way to stop this? It is complete madness. I guess the only way to handle it, really, truly, is to see the crushingly... maddeningly evocative humor that's involved in all of this. Except, I guess, for one thing, the punchline to all this stuff floating around the planet right now is the demise of the U.S. And that's for real. Oh, I mean, you know, we could get to work on that Malthusian thing and reduce the population of the planet from. Over 6 billion, is that where we are now? Down to a more manageable 1 billion, very simply. I don't know if the 1 billion would survive, but somebody would survive. Just go ahead and start pushing the buttons and get this over with. Just go ahead and do it. Zoom, 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 zoom. And that comes from a guy who has a 4-year-old kid. It's scary. It is mind-boggling what is going on. And now we have this thing... did you all see the, I'm sure you saw the movie War Games way back, I mean, 1,000 years ago. Remember War Games? how the computer went wacko and was getting ready to launch. And I remember one of the things that was interesting to me, that was such a real nail biter. That movie to me was just like, whoa, edgier seat style movie. And I remember one little flash where it said the Pakistan-India option was about to go off. The Pakistan-India option. And that kind of stuck with me. When did that come out? Back in the 80s, didn't it? War Games? I think it did. I don't know if Pakistan had nukes back then. It really doesn't matter. So don't email me. Don't send me a Wikipedia entry. I frankly don't care. But there it was in that film, and it stuck with me all this time. Like, India, Pakistan, really? Very easily. That could very easily be the trigger. What am I talking about? I have no idea. I remember also back in the late 70s, early 80s, reading Jonathan Schell's book about nuclear winter. Remember that? Started out as a series of essays by Jonathan Schell about what a nuclear exchange would actually bring. And I can remember in the 80s and even in the 90s, 70s, 80s, and into, well, not the 90s, 70s and 80s, thinking there was a possibility that sanity would prevail, that somehow sanity would prevail. I remember the horror of the China's Great Leap Forward, and then the Red Guards and the Gang of Four. I remember thinking, oh my God, this enormous country is in these convulsions. Then I remember the assassination of Indira Gandhi and the collapse of the Soviet Union, and there was always in the back of my mind the thought, well, you know, sane people are going to prevail here. Cooler heads are going to prevail. And I never looked at my own country, never realized, I mean, okay, the Vietnam War was going on and U.S. imperialism was in full flower. But, you know, you're kind of caught in that America, my country, right or wrong thing, that flag waving thing. And you think, well, my side can't be that bad. We're the side that is, you know, good, right? But now, stepping back, stepping up a little bit, stepping up on a little high rise, little hill above the mess that's being created down there, all the squirming and insanity that's going on, you take a look down at what's going on and go, oh my God, how did this happen? How did this happen? That's kind of been the prevailing thought in my mind today. I don't like it. I don't like thinking about that. Let's do some phone calls. Mick is calling from Miami, listening on WINZ. Mick, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. I don't know if you touched on this earlier, but I was listening to Tom Hartman today, and he was mentioning about a lawsuit in Ohio, a civil lawsuit that's brought against Karl Rove and some other people. Have you heard about that?
I haven't, no.
Apparently, there's a website called Velvet Revolution, and I went on it, and it had some very interesting things. But apparently, the IT guy that runs that works with Bush, is a Karl Rove guy, and he is being fingered by another IT guy as fixing, you know, a certain amount of elections. And apparently, there's a lawsuit, it's a civil lawsuit, which is outside of the presidential pardoning powers, and it was just interesting. So I was seeing if you had any comment on that.
But to what end? A subpoena, indictment, of what?
They're trying a RICO, actually. I don't know if you're familiar with the RICO.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with RICO. But what is the lawsuit? I'm not clear. I'm sorry, Mick. I'm not clear. What lawsuit? Based on what?
Yeah, apparently they're saying that he conspired with the Chamber of Commerce, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and State Chamber of Commerce, yeah, to fund Republican campaigns. They're funneling money through the Chamber of Commerce's, both U.S. and states, and to fund specifically to go after, and they actually cite Matt Cleland, 2002. They cite a couple of other races, but apparently there's been like $400 million. Again, I'm just kind of
reading
off of.
So the goal is to get Karl Rove into a court. Are these criminal charges or civil charges? I guess they would be criminal.
Apparently they're starting off with civil, but it's I'm not as versed. You know, it's something to to look at.
I'll definitely check it out. It's Velvet Revolution.
VelvetRevolution.us.
.us.
Yeah. And then there's an actual website called Rovegate.com, I believe it was.
Rovegate.com?
Rovecybergate.com, because this other guy is the whistleblower. He was working with the McCain camp, and this guy has basically looked over the Diebold, the codes.
Right.
He's looked over these codes, and he said under oath that that some of these codes that were put in at the end of these, right before the election, were not certified, and they were actually, instead of being one thing, they were a flipping code. They would flip these elections.
Right.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
All right, I'll check it out. Thanks, Mick.
Have a good night.
Okay. You too. You too. Yeah, I haven't heard of any of this. So, check it out. VelvetRevolution.us. And the other one is what? RoveCybergate.com. All right. Let's check it out during the break. Tracy is calling from Santa Monica, listening on KTLK. Tracy, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. I just got to thank you and Kathy so much for, on a regular basis, keeping me knowing that I'm still sane. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. The stuff we talk about, though, makes me insane. How does it make you sane?
You remind me that I'm not nuts.
I see.
It really is a fourth, what did you call it, stage of hell?
Fourth ring of hell. Fourth or fifth, yeah.
Okay, my input regards Roberta's email and Marsha McLuhan's maxim, form follows function.
Oh, boy, you just lost me.
Well, Marsha McLuhan thing is tells us we can know the intention of events by the results.
We can know the intention of, so we have to look backwards. When the results occur, look back, and you know what the ultimate plan was really to begin with.
Right, and then she was talking about some bigger scene that Woodrow Wilson was alluding to.
Yeah.
Back when?
Wilson was what? Right after World War One, wasn't he? Right before World War One, wasn't that the Wilson administration?
Right about the time all that stuff with Fed and the IRS got created.
Hey, hold on a second. Let me put you on hold, Tracy. We got to do a break here, and we'll come back and finish this up on the other side of the break because I'm not real clear here. Of course, that's nothing new. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malone on Nova M.
Stay poor and the rich get rich. That's how it goes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling. Like their father or their...
Night Truth Seekers, time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer, more Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. We're talking with Tracy in Santa Monica, listening on KTLK. Now, back up just a tad, Tracy, and do some of that again.
Okay, so Roberta was saying, was quoting Wilson
right
back in the day when the Fed and all that got started. So he must have known something pretty awful and big was going on behind the scenes. So my question is, what if what we call this freak show is the plan? And that there's no one being allowed in top leadership to lead us out of this because they're not supposed to.
But to what end? I mean, why?
If we have sovereignty as a nation, the global corporatist centralized banker guys can't get over. They have to crash our constitution, don't they? I mean, right?
Well, yeah. I don't, the international part is the part that I still haven't gotten there yet. I just see Americans, people who well, I guess it would just be Americans who are involved in this power mad game. And maybe it's not just Americans. Maybe there is some international see, I'm starting to stumble around here because this stuff is kind of over my head. I've always believed that most things were local. By that I mean if we have a problem in Washington, we can solve it here in the United States. If we have a problem with U.S. foreign policy, we can take care of that by working at home to make sure we get decent people in office. If we're having an economic problem, we can change our policies in this country and work on the economic problem. I've always kind of started to believe that, and I guess that's because I was brought up to believe that you know, while the United States can be influenced by other countries, we can get involved in external entanglements that we probably shouldn't. When push comes to shove, though, if we can just regroup and come back home and sit down, we can solve our own problems. I've always kind of believed that. I guess that's not true anymore, is it? If it ever was.
Well, my question would be, if there's transnational corporations, what allegiance do they have to any country? And why?
Right. Well, none. I think their allegiance is only to the country that gives them the best deal in making a profit. In some instances, that might be China. In other instances, it might be the United States because our laws regarding corporate profits and corporate taxes are just like Swiss cheese. They can walk through any loophole they want to walk through. So, you know, you're probably right there. And I think most people who understand international capitalism, this international predatory capitalism, would agree with you. There's no allegiance. Why should a corporation have any allegiance to a country? It's not a living, breathing thing. It's a construct. It's paper filed in some federal courthouse or with some lawyers. So there is no loyalty. Just go. This is the poison pill in capitalism, that it always needs cheaper labor. It always needs more profit. It always needs expanding markets. It always needs to devour the competition. And it always needs monopolistic control over whatever it touches. And eventually, that equals death, destruction, a fiery pit. It can't continue like this. So I guess that's what you're talking about, right?
Well, I'm just as spooked out as you are. I mean, I think I find the whole thing really, really spooky, yeah, in the sense that there's lots of, like, dark things in the shadows that nobody knows about.
I know.
And my question, so I just saw this DVD called Treason in America, Council on Foreign Relations. But nobody, I mean, I even brought this up at a Robert Scheer book signing. Nobody thinks this Council on Foreign Relations has any power. But according to this documentary, which is like information from the public domain, you know, available anywhere, you want to go to any library, evidently they controlled the 20th century till the neocons took power for foreign policy.
All right. Well, so did it offer a solution, this documentary?
Yeah, it does. It's kind of bizarre, and I don't know what to make of it. It's all about changing your identity from the straw man to the real identity, your signature, uh-huh, something that I don't know anything about and I don't trust. Do you know anything about it?
No, I don't. I just know I love to sit on the beach in Santa Monica and you know.
Well, you and Kathy are welcome anytime. I'll take you guys out to dinner and
just
bring Molly.
And just watch the sunset.
Yes.
Just kind of sit there and, all right, Tracy.
Well, the good news is Molly is part of the new generation that can't be lied to.
That's true.
You've got one.
All right. Thanks, Tracy. All right. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Arg. John is calling from Madison, listening on the mic. Hey, John.
Hello, Mike.
Hi.
I'll go from the macro to the micro.
Okay.
I have a particular thing going on in Madison, Wisconsin, and it's very disturbing in this same sense that the larger picture is that there are several signs that say bridge out.
Yeah.
And these people keep coming along, and they go down there, and they get down to the bridge. And then where they have a barricade, and there's a crane, and there's several construction, like a bulldozer and things like that. And they come right up there, and they practice to a three-point turn to get out of there. And it was driving me nuts. I mean, just over the edge. I called up a friend of mine and said, Julie, come on over here. you got to stand in front of me because I got to go out there and talk to these people because I don't want to get hit.
Yeah.
And so, anyways, it turns out I came out the door and she was out there all over him. What are you doing here? Can't you read? Can't you read the signs?
Right.
So I ended up doing a little survey, and these people come down there. I'd kid around with them, and I'd say, did you see the signage? And then a number of them said, no, I didn't see it. I pulled in on another street. So when they got more signs out there, it is still going on.
Well, I you know, that could be a metaphor for what's happening in the whole country, John. It sounds crazy. Like I said, get a bowl of popcorn and sit up where you got a good vantage point and watch these suckers just careen and crash, I guess. I don't know. John, thanks. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. All right, I may be phrasing things wrong here in inviting you all to call in tonight. What I'd like to get from you, if you don't want to do this, it's okay with me. I mean, I'm just tossing it out. I get a lot of emails that say, well, you know, what you have to say is great, Malloy, but it's fun sometimes to hear other people's opinions. That's what I'm looking for, you know, this Russian-Georgian situation. The situation with Obama and McCain, the big build-up to their vice presidential selection choices, whatever, this monstrous situation that's developed in Pakistan, the new figures out that say inflation is it inflation? No, wholesale prices are at a higher annual rate. They rose to a higher annual rate in July than they had in 27 years. Inflation reached a 17-year high last month. I mean, Jesus, God! So what I'm looking for here is from listeners of the program, if you want to, is some input, some evaluation. What do you think? One of our callers tonight, or it was an emailer, and I guess a caller said, well, I listen to your program, so I you know, you helped me retain my sanity. And I'm not sure what that means, except, okay, because we're aware on this program of what's going on, and sometimes you feel like you're out there all by yourself. I guess that's it. But I want to hear from you tonight, okay? That's where we're at. The number is 800-989-1480. So, jump in here and join us. While you're calling, let me just share something with you that's at Global Research, organization out of Canada. And this is by William Engdahl. The signing on August 14th, that was just a couple of days ago, an agreement between the governments of the U.S. and Poland to deploy on Polish soil U.S. so-called interceptor missiles is, Mr. Engdahl writes, the most dangerous move toward nuclear war the world has seen since the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis. Well, I knew it was kind of iffy. Engdahl goes on, far from a defensive move to protect European NATO states from a Russian nuclear attack, as military strategists have pointed out, the U.S. missiles in Poland pose a total existential threat to the future existence of the Russian nation. Uh-oh. The Russian government has repeatedly warned of this since U.S. plans were first unveiled in early 2007. Now, despite repeated diplomatic attempts by Russia to come to an agreement with Washington, The Bush administration, in the wake of a humiliating U.S. defeat in Georgia, has pressured the government of Poland to finally sign the pact. The consequences could be unthinkable for Europe and the planet. The preliminary deal to place elements of the U.S. Global Missile Defense Shield was signed by Polish Deputy Foreign Minister Andrzej Kramer. I know I'm mispronouncing his first name. It's probably Kramer, too. And the U.S. Chief Negotiator John Rood on August 14th. Under the terms of this agreement, Washington plans to place 10 interceptor missiles in Poland, coupled with a radar system in the Czech Republic, which it ludicrously claims, both of which are intended to counter possible attacks from what it calls rogue states, including Iran. This goes on. It says the signing now ensures an escalation of tension between Russia and NATO, read the United States, and a new Cold War arms race in full force. I don't know. Last spring, then-Russian President Vladimir Putin exposed the shallowness of the U.S. propaganda line of these missiles and radar sites were designed to defend against rogue states. Putin exposed the idiocy of that by offering a startled President Bush that Russia would offer the U.S. use of Russian leased radar facilities in Azerbaijan on the Iran border to far better monitor Iran missile launches. The Bush administration simply ignored the offer. Do you remember that? Oh, my God. Russia is also discussing to put in place an orbital ballistic missile system in response to U.S. missile defense plans for Central Europe, according to a senior Russian expert. Okay, this is what the other article is referring to. Colonel General Viktor Yesin, former chief of staff of the Russian Strategic Missile Force, now vice president of the Academy of Security, Defense, and Law Enforcement Studies in Russia, said, quote, a program could be implemented to create orbital ballistic missiles capable of reaching U.S. territory via the South Pole, skirting U.S. air defense bases. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, man. Hey, let's put on some music and go get some Chinese food. I'm serious. Let's get the hell out of here. You want to... Man, I could use some beef and broccoli right now. I today I didn't write a blog, per se. I just put a couple of notes in the blog box at my little space on Nova M Radio that, it's always best not, it's getting best not to look at the morning news. I get up in the morning. I used to turn on Imus in the morning until he stepped in it up to his jaw. And then I switched over to watching this murderous Republican jackass, Joe Scarborough, because at the beginning of his program, he used to shut up a little bit, but now he's just totally out of control, just totally out of control. So then I switched back to Imus on RFD channel, and, what's the point? there's no reason. So now what I do is just when I wake up, when Molly wakes us up at 6:30 in the morning, I just pull the covers over my head and rely on Kathy to get up and deal with Molly. And I pull the covers over my head, snuggle down, and try to go back to sleep. Don't watch TV in the morning. And then when I do get up, stumble out the drive, get the times, and come in, sit down with a cup of Super Beans coffee, open it up, and start shrieking. You're just screaming. You're just reading the headlines and all the stories on the first page. And and then Molly comes in and wants to play, will you play the memory game with me? Will you play with the fairies with me? Will you play dolls with me? Yes! 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 Oh, my God, yes! Let's go to your room, Molly, where the dollhouse is and the fairy house and the books and the toys and all the little games and stuff. Because you know why?
Why, Daddy?
We're safe there! Oh, my goodness. I don't know why anybody listens to this program. I really don't. Just, you know, one night it's just nonstop craziness. And the next night it's, you know, me screaming about sitting up in Molly's room. We have a nice view out of her bedroom window, one of her bedroom windows. It's open. It looks out over the backyard and then into the woods behind the house, which is where all the fairies live. And so, we'll just stay up there. I'll finish that cup of Super Beans coffee and you know, scream down the stairs, "Kathy, will you bring me another cup of coffee? Please, I don't want to leave Molly's room." All right, let's go to your phone calls. Or do we have to break here? We have to break here. Okay, we're coming to your phone calls. As soon as we get back from this break, you all have had enough time to pick up the phone and dial 800-989-1480. Let's see what you got to say, okay? Okay? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Democrats strike without warning, so to your back seat in bed. Wear a bucket on your head, that's what I said. And to show your support for right-wing ideology, the raids on Iraq and the rape of the ecology, while the treasury's being bled.
21 past, excuse me, 21 past the hour.
You won't need any eye holes.
All right,
tell us what we see.
To your phone calls, Claudia. Claudia is calling from Kentucky, listening via the internet. Hey, Claudia, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Claudia in Kentucky here.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually very concerned about the global situation right now. I'm a delegate for Obama to the National Convention and have been looking so forward to it and so forward to his, you know, his prospects, and I'm kind of with you these days that he's let me down in so many ways, but the global events over the last few days, and it just feels like the dominoes are set and all it takes is one little push and they're all going to fall. And it's a question of, you know, I don't have any children. I don't have a safe room to go crawl under the bed with them. They're all grown and gone. I just feel like, you know, pack up and go and just wait for the bombs to fall. Where are they going to be next?
Oh, my God.
It's crazy.
Where? This, you know, I wonder, because sometimes I think that surely I must be the only person who really thinks that way. Oh, I get a few emails from people that say, Jesus, Malloy. But I don't understand.
No, just...
I don't know how people can avoid not feeling this real sense of anxiety right now. You're right. The dominoes are lining up. And all it's going to take is somebody to cough the wrong way. And somebody else down the line a little bit is going to feel his domino push over, and he's going to launch a nuclear bomb. I don't mean to come across as paranoid, because hell, I grew up in the nuclear age. You know, I used to do duck and cover. So if anybody should not be paranoid, I would think it would be somebody like me.
Well, here's another kind of odd thing about where I live right now. I live about, oh, maybe two blocks from an airport. And ever since I've been a little kid, I grew up in this house. And I've had nightmares about planes crashing. And now So suddenly my nightmares have turned to bombs falling, and I feel like we're going to find out what it's like to be a Palestinian or, you know, a Lebanese being bombed. You know, something tells me that this situation is very, very different from anything we've ever been faced with.
Well, it's real iffy right now, and I think part of what you're experiencing, I know part of what I'm experiencing, is for the first time Claudia, in history that I can remember, the U.S. has no prestige. We have nothing to fall back on. We don't have a reputation as being the good guy. We don't have the reputation now of being the country that has the stable currency. We don't have the reputation of being the country that projects as best we can. I'm saying reputation projects as best we can, kind of a humanitarian face. All of a sudden, the bank account is dry, you might say, where it concerns America's ability to contribute, A, or B, manipulate, or C, influence, or D, dominate. All of a sudden, what's in that account? Nothing. It has been totally, completely, just, not just squandered, but somehow disappeared. I know some people argue and say, no, it goes back further than the first Bush administration. It goes back to Reagan. But, okay, possibly so. But in the last 25 years, where we had opportunity after opportunity, especially after the dissolution of the Soviet Union, we had such an opportunity to say, okay, the madness has got to stop. We had such opportunity in this country to maintain a stable job base here, manufacturing base, so the middle class could continue to exist. Opportunity after opportunity. And for some reason, we have had leadership, Democrat and Republican, that has just flushed it. Just flushed it right down the commode. There's nothing left, it feels like, to draw on. And I think to myself, well, you know, come on. You are so damn negative. You are so damn paranoid. You are so anxious. Yada, yada, yada. It's corrupting your thinking processes, Malloy. You've got to stop this. And I try. I swear to God, I try. And then I open up the New York Times. I know. Stop taking the New York Times. Yeah, that'll really make a difference in my little corner, my little atom of the globe. Yeah, if I don't open up the New York Times, everything will be okay. And it's maddening. I really don't know how to explain it, much less handle it. But I start to feel it's you, Malloy. It's not the real world. Everything is, if not fine, certainly repairable. Hi, your phone calls when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Symptoms of mad cowboy could lead to travesties. I'm lying just to justify. Mama, do you please? Mad cowboy can be fatal. Can make you paranoid. Can make you maladjusted. A person to avoid. You rave against the terrorists, then murder like they do. You even claim the peaceniks terrorizing them. Your old friends and allies you see as enemies. It's mighty freaking dangerous. Mad cowboy disease. Mad cowboy disease. Mad cowboy disease.
Democrat approach comes down to this. The terrorists win and America loses. And down you go. It's just
a job I do. I can imagine somebody says, okay, hey, what time is it? Oh, okay. You want to listen to some talk radio? Yeah, let's turn to some talk radio. You got me, what do you want to listen to? Let's listen to the Malloy programs. You know, sometimes kind of entertaining. Somebody switches over this program, and they hear this paranoid screaming I just went through. I'm sorry. I don't mean to come across that out of control. I mean, I am out of control. Anybody that thinks they're in control is either insane or you know, just really having serious problems with an overdose of LSD or something. But there's such a thing as being out of control and not running around screaming about it. So I apologize for running around screaming about it. This freaks me out. Freaks me out. Let's go back to your phone calls. Craig. Did I put somebody on hold? I didn't? Okay. Craig is calling from Westminster, California, listening on KTLK. Hey, Craig.
Yes. How you doing?
I'm all right, I think. How are you?
fine, Mike. Mike, I want you to know I think your wife's very supportive of you, and she's a very good person. The reason I called is I agree with you on everything you've been saying about Pakistan, India, Iraq, Georgia, and
Russia.
Russia,
Poland.
Just the latest events that have been taking place. And they've all showed me that we are really in a really bad situation. And the thing that really bothers me is that, you know, I look at the newspapers, I listen to the news and everything, and nobody's talking about how serious these warnings are. 15 years ago, 10 years ago, or even in L.A., when the Russians said they were going to bomb L.A., it was in the Los Angeles Times. It was big news. Everybody was afraid. You don't see that anymore, and that's another bad, really bad sign. It's like everybody's just kind of like Morlocks, or they're kind of like zombies, and they can't look up and see the sun, shining on them. I mean, they're dead already. But here's the thing I'd really like to share with you and your wife, especially, is that years ago I had a dream. About 2 years ago I had a dream, and it was like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I found out later on there are other people in the country here who were having the same dream at the same time. And what it was is that it was a three-night dream. And basically what it was is I lived in Solana Beach near San Diego. And there's Oceanside Vista. Oceanside's a big marine base. San Diego's a big military base and everything.
Yeah.
And what it was, this dream, is I was standing right in Del Mar in Solana Beach. And that was it was about afternoon, and I saw a flash over an ocean. I saw the flash on his side, on my back, and then I saw a pair of legs that were really burnt, blistered, black and brown, like a hot dog. Then I realized it was my legs. Well, a couple of nights later on, I had another dream about the same thing. Only though I was standing.
Okay, Craig. You need to tell this stuff. Seriously, you need to tell this stuff to your therapist. I can't listen anymore of this. I'm sorry I had dreams that your legs turned into burned hot dogs. But this is not the kind of call I'm looking for. Okay? I don't want to hear about your dreams. I don't hear about anybody's dreams. What have I unleashed here? Come on. We want to talk. Seriously. Now, damn it, don't call in and talk to me about hot dog legs. Talk to your therapist. I'm not trying to be a jerk with you. I really am not. I know that's a serious thing to you, but this is a goddamn radio talk show. This is not Dr. Whoever. Now, I'm sorry. I don't mean to go off on you. But I'm not looking for phone calls about dreams where there's flashes of light and your legs went into hot dogs. I don't do that to me. All right, folks? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. No more calls like that. Now, let's move to Adam, who's listening on KTLK in LA. Adam, no dreams.
Oh, poor Mike. Hey, I want to share with you and commiserate, but also say we're so alike, but we're in different modes because I want to cheer you up.
Oh, good. Do it.
But I get just like you, so we have. To look at this world and not be crazy is to maybe not have eyes or ears. But listen, old Mert was a party to these war criminals and trying to help Cheney in the election year 2 years ago. He's going down in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Ignominiously.
But that may not be good news. Do you realize who's waiting in the wings? Among those waiting in the wings is Benjamin Netanyahu, who does not believe in a two-state solution to the situation there, who does believe in attacking Iran with every nuclear bomb Israel has last week. So if Ehud Olmert leaves office and we get Netanyahu, goodbye.
No, we'll get Libby Trippi, I think. And I mean, also very important, last week the White House issued a statement saying that they can't do what everybody's talking about. It was issued. I don't know if you've, I count on you to give me the New York Times, so you can't stop, bro. I only get my New York Times from the radio. But that's the truth. An official statement was saying that they can't. And then Israel had to say, well, we can if we want. But the White House already said they can't. So that's now military policy. So
the White House said they can't what?
Israel can't fly to Iran.
Oh, yeah. Well,
they have to cross Iraq. And the White House has already said that that's not going to happen legally.
Well, that was what Georgia was all about. It was flying north, and then flying east, and then flying south. That's what Georgia was all about. So,
I'm trying to now look at the emperor's been naked a long time, and we've been profoundly and wickedly lazy. But finally, this Georgian interpretation is different from what you. Yes, we know what they're trying to do, but they look ridiculous in front of the world. Nobody's going back to the Cold War, even though some of them talk as crazy. Our job between now and January 20th is to pray we make it to there. Because otherwise, you're funny. It's like the guy at the end of that movie who goes off on the bomb. We know we're in trouble if we don't win. But it's a big boat. Many are on our side.
But now, wait a minute. What happens on January 20th? You say, we have to make it to January 20th. Then what?
Well, I'm presuming that if democracy survives, Obama will win. And I had one other point. I wanted to let you know that Lincoln and Roosevelt vetoed more legislation than any president in history, and Lincoln was to the right of both Seward and Chase, and both were stodgy, and both were the unique men or characters to their time. And we're only about 4 years late on that 72-year cycle. But it's not Obama that will be lacking. It will be us.
On January 20th, when Barack Obama is sworn in, what's going to be different on the 21st of January that was not true on the 19th?
If Patrick Fitzgerald is not the Attorney General, I pray for us. And that's what I'm saying. It's up to us. Because now people say, okay, the stakes are as you see it, but it's not going. They're weak as can be. Every one of their major props has been cut out from under them. And that's why, in fact, when I told this story to somebody who doesn't follow things, I just said Karl Rove wouldn't go to the White House, but instead went to Georgia to plan a war. His reaction was that stupid.
Well, all right. Adam, I wish I had as much faith in January 20th. The people who believe that Barack Obama is going to pull this off, I will certainly throw in with you, at least emotionally, because I know what McCain will do. I know what McCain-Lieberman will do. If he's sworn in on the 20th, on the 21st, we start throwing bombs. You know, I understand that. So I don't think that that'll happen with Obama. I don't want Barack Obama as president at this point. I just don't, for a number of reasons. Well, who do you want, Malloy? I don't know. Cynthia McKinney? Ralph Nader? I mean, see, here's the hard part. And I'm just going to touch on this. I don't want a lot of emails about this. I don't want to talk about it on the phone. This is just throwaway stuff right now, okay? Philosophically, I am in agreement with both of them. Ralph Nader, in terms of political philosophy, Ralph Nader and Cynthia McKinney. I mean, their positions are exactly in line with my positions. Exactly. I mean, there's no daylight. But I've got to go into the voting booth, don't I? maybe not, and vote for the guy with the D after his name. You know, and that, the more that I've thought about that over the past 4, 5, 6 years, the more that pisses me off. Because I, you know, I've played the game, I've gone along, you know, I've been willing to identify the Republicans as the people who ride the black horses and wear the black hats and just want to kill everybody, and the Democrats, the people who ride the white horses, have the white hats and want everybody to live, and I realize that that's not true. So, I don't know. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Redefining Anger Management. It's Mike Malloy, only on Nova M Radio.
It's about 10 before the hour. All right, here's an email from Tom in the Joshua Tree, California. Writes, Mike, this Pakistan-India business is the Christian Republican rapture by proxy. In much the same way, the U.S. government instituted a policy of racial extermination by flooding the inner cities with cocaine and heroin in order to keep the slave population down on the plantations, so too did the AIDS support and proliferate the nuclear drug onto the dark people of the Middle East. I mean, come on, how many Americans ever heard the word mango before we gave the green light necessary to arm India? What a deal, huh? It's like arming the Hutus and the Tutsis, making money off both ends, then come in and take it all. So, that is what this is all about, Tom writes. Let those fools kill each other off, then we come in and administer the oil pipelines all along the Baltic. As regards to nuclear fallout, remember, these Christians and Republicans are insane. They honestly believe that their version of God will protect them. And besides, since most of the super wealthy have a place to go to get away from these nuclear trade winds, it's just a matter of time before they emerge from their holes and buy up all the property that once belonged to those of us whose lives has shriveled into dust. And voila, that's what this is all about. Tom. Well, then, if that's the case, let's just, you know, go into the garage tonight and turn on the engine and sit there with the windows down and breathe like Fred Astaire did in On the Beach, right, after he won the Grand Prix. Ah! All right, back to your phone calls. Charlie is calling from Miami, listening on WINZ. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
Mike, I'm doing great, man, but you're driving people crazy tonight, man.
I know. I'm just having a major nerve out. It's okay. It'll all go away, Charlie.
You know, I'm laughing at it, man, because, I mean, it's like, who would have thought that the United States would become a rogue nation, man?
Really? Really?
You know, and the thing is that you got, you know, the neocons and that group that follows them, they prop this rogue nation up, man. And the thing is that it is, you know, the world has gotten so close with nuclear weapons and the communication and everything.
Uh-huh.
People think that we're still protected. We're, you know, we're going to be immune from the fighting and from being in wars and stuff. But it's no longer true, man. We can't bring neocons in the office and expect nothing to happen to us anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, that, all people like neocons. We can't bring the warmongers in and the people who are going to come in with their an agenda like these guys got. And they got an agenda, but they're too stupid to carry it out. I mean, they think they know what they're doing, but they don't. They underestimate Russia. They underestimate Iraq. They underestimate everybody. You can't have those kind of. I mean, you're playing with people's lives. You can't have people like that in office.
I know. So why do American voters keep putting those people in office?
Because the neocons play the Jedi mind trick on the largest portion of the population. You know, they play that skin color game with them, and skin color has nothing to do with it anymore. You know, it's a Jedi mind trick, and you got enough people in the population who don't want to, you know, all they want to do is be protected long enough to sit down and drink their beer, you know, and you know, go to the bar and watch a football game or whatever, and they don't really care about global politics. You know, so just protect me, you know, don't let the war come over here, and or either tell me that's what's going to happen, and I'll vote for you. That's why the neocons can constantly say, win, win, win. We're going to win. And these people say, yeah, yeah, just win. Win to them means keep the bombs from over here. You know?
Right.
You know? Oh. And, I mean, you can't, you know, people have got, I mean, and you know, the thing that bothers me a lot of times, Mike, is that I think that the people that are in the know, like us, I mean, like people that are calling your show, we don't scream loud enough, man. This thing is great. And, I mean, we treat it like, hey, we just stumble on an Easter egg or something. But, I mean, we just stumble on the country being stolen, you know, blind, being, you know, just, you know, turned into a rogue nation, you know, people that are, you know, have the same agenda as Hitler had.
All right. So, Charlie, all right, what do we do?
We got to get up in arms, man. We got to, you know, it's like you've been saying for the longest. I mean, you say it tongue-in-cheek. But there's got to be a major revolt against this foolishness. Are we going to wind up? We're going to wind up eating napalm or something, you know? We're going to wind up with bombs going down our throat. I mean, places like Russia and China and all these places, they know what we're up to. They know the idiocy that Cheney and Bush are up to. I mean, when they go into Iraq, they, you know, China knows that we're going in there to get a strategic position, uh-huh. You know, around them. Just like Russia knows that Georgia is a strategic position and all those areas over there are strategic towards them. But we think that we're so smart. Bush thinks that he's so smart and Cheney's so smart that they can go in and say, oh, no, we're here for Iran or we're here for that, you know. And these guys are going to believe that crap. These guys are intelligent people. You know, they know what's going on. But the thing is that they're in a position where they really can't react now. So they're going to act like, hey, okay, you know, we believe you. But at the same time, they're going to be getting their deep water navies and everything ready so that, you know, okay, let's stop this fool. You know, these guys, they're a rogue nation. We can't let them know we're getting ready to stop them, but we got to get ready to stop them, you know. And that's what you see happening. And we're playing a dangerous game, Mike. You know it.
I know we are. All right, Charlie, thanks, man. I appreciate what you had to say, okay?
All right, guy.
All right. Take care, Charlie. Take care. We'll be back after the break. Back to your phone calls. Come on. Crank it up. Get real. Let's go. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Come on.
Story in your eyes, it's been shining down upon me now. Realize.
It's about 7 past the hour. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. Sorry about the hysterics on this program tonight. Really, you know, usually I can control this. Oh, God. But I, you know, got out of my milieu this past weekend, went to Seattle, and hung out with about 1,500 people who like to listen to liberal talk, and five or six other talk show hosts who try to produce liberal talk along with yours truly. And it was, and you know, also spent some time with some friends out there, and it was just kind of like, tilt. You remember, oh my God, it just occurred to me, most people wouldn't know what I mean by that. Well, there used to be pinball machines. Oh well, tilt, and it's difficult to reorient, you know, line up with true north again. Now that I'm back in Atlanta, this is kind of weird. Philip sent this to me. I think it originates with Raw Story. Well, actually, originates with Channel 4, the CBS affiliate in Denver, and I think it aired a couple of days ago. Video on this is out on YouTube, but the article is about the. Well, it reminds us during the 2004 Republican convention, New York City. And very few people remember this. It's just like down the memory hole. You never hear about this. 1,700 people were taken into police custody in New York City during the Republican National Convention. 1,700 people. And it was called one of the most sweeping mass arrests in U.S. history. And a lot of these folks were held on Staten Island's Pier 57 inside a warehouse which was contaminated with lead and asbestos. Some were held for days without proper access to food, water, outside communication, or legal counsel. Now, eventually it resolved, although there are some lawsuits still pending from 4 years ago. Well, fast forward to Denver and coming up in Denver. In that city, according to CBS4, the CBS affiliate television station in Denver, police are preparing what a local political organizer calls a concentration camp. They're getting it ready in anticipation of mass arrest during the upcoming Democratic National Convention. Now, if you know, regardless of what happens out there, I talked to some of my colleagues when I was in Seattle. Randy's going to be there. Stephanie's going to be there. Hartman's going to be there. Who else? I guess now that Rachel is going to be working at MSNBC, well, they may have her out there. I don't know. But I'm not going to be there. But Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, and Randy Rhodes will all be broadcasting during the Democratic National Convention from Denver. So listen to their programs. And I kind of have to push, you know, all three of them, I think, provide very different programs, absolutely different. But I've got to lean a little bit towards Randy because she and I are on the same network here. And but she'll have some absolutely incredible reporting from the DNC in Denver. I hope she doesn't get caught in what I'm talking about here. Police are preparing what is called a concentration camp. Now, on I think it was last Wednesday, a Denver CBS affiliate, and this is in Raw Story, sent a news crew to crash the police department's improvised detention facility that is housed in a warehouse owned by the city on the northeast side of town. Reporter Rick Salinger for CBS4 in Denver introduced the segment, and he said, quote, "This is a building filled with metal holding cells. We showed up at the facility unannounced today. The doors were wide open. We managed to shoot video for several minutes until a Denver sheriff's captain asked us to leave," end quote. Now, footage of the warehouse, and this is what you can find on YouTube, reveals tall chain link fence capped by barbed wire, segmented pens, each bearing an identifying letter at about shoulder height. "The news crew was not invited nor welcome. Captain Frank Gale of the Denver Sheriff's Department called the facility, quote, a secured area, end quote, and worried that information related to the site would be used, quote, by people who are potentially trying to be disruptive, end quote." Huh? It's four people who... Oh, never mind. Captain... or the reporter, Rick Salinger, said, quote, each of these fenced-in areas is about 5 yards by 5 yards. There's a lock on the door. How long those arrested will be kept here is not known. A sign on the wall reads, warning, electric stun devices used in this facility, end quote. Now, according to the Raw story article, area activists were not amused at the news. CBS carried its footage on the newfound jail to Adam Jung, or Jung, with Kent State University, and Zoe Williams, a Code Pink organizer. Williams said, quote, very reminiscent of a political prisoner camp or a concentration camp. Jung added, quote, I mean, that's how you treat cattle. It's a meat processing plant, end quote. And according to the reporter, Rick Salinger, for CBS 4 in Denver, the detention site was supposed to be a secret. And a call by Raw Story to the Denver Sheriff's Department seeking information on this facility was not returned. A Denver Police Department letter to area residents said, quote, this facility will not be used for long-term detention. Arrestees who are processed in this facility will be there for no more than the few hours it requires for processing. Water, bathroom, medical staff, and phones will be available to them. The facility will be fully staffed to ensure its safe and secure operation, end quote. And ACLU Colorado is currently pressing the police department in Denver for further information. Well, and you know, if there are disruptions in Denver, the pig man and these beasts that inhabit right-wing talk radio and talk television will almost become orgasmic. They'll need handfuls of paper towels to clean themselves up. If there are demonstrations in Minneapolis-St. Paul during the Republican convention, they will become apoplectic. Excuse me. They will become apoplectic and decide that free speech is being violated in St. Paul, Minnesota, or Minneapolis, Minnesota. Where's the convention? Is actually in St. Paul? I guess it's in Minneapolis. Fun times ahead, Hunter Seekers. All right, let's go back to your phone calls, starting with, there's Marge. Marge is calling from Indiana. Marge, hello, Marge. Welcome to the program.
Doesn't that just warm the cockles of your heart? I was just going to ask you, do they have a like facility in Minneapolis, St. Paul, or wherever the RNC is going to gather?
You know, they probably have execution chambers in Minneapolis. You know, anybody that protests the Republicans has got to be a communist pig dog bastard who needs to be immediately decapitated. Huh?
You know what they were showing on local TV? Was it last night? Yeah, I guess it was Monday night.
Yeah.
40 years ago with the Chicago Convention, and you know what happened in front of the Hilton Hotel in Grand Park and like that.
Yeah.
They were walking down memory lane and showing, all the police going after the protesters, and somebody saying that the National Guard was standing out in front and the order was given to fix bayonets. And I thought, holy suffering succotash.
I was living in Tampa at the time, Marge, and I remember coming home from work late at night and flipped on the TV. This is back in the days before, hell, I don't think there was even videotape back then. It was all film. Let me put you on hold, Marge. I'll come back after this break. Flipped on television, went to the news, and I saw stuff on television I couldn't believe. American young people being clubbed and beaten to the ground by blue-helmeted Chicago cops, or white-helmeted. There was no color TV then, either, at least not for us. And I sat there stunned. Couldn't believe what I was seeing.
I knew that I was learning, but I ain't marching anymore. Now the labor leader is screaming when they close the missile plants. The United Fruit screams at the Cuban shore. Call it peace or call it treason. Call it love or call it reason. But I...
ready for Radical Talk Radio? Make mine Mike Malloy on Nova M.
I would not run from the Holocaust. I would not run from the bomb.
21 past the hour. Let's go back to the phones. Marge in Indiana. All right, Marge, where were we? Hey, Marge. Hold on just a second, Marge. There we are. Hey, Marge.
Hello there. They were blue helmeted.
They were. I didn't see that on television, though, because all I had was a black and white TV.
Well, yeah. Back in those days, I don't think I did either, but after time went by and when they reran it several times,
yeah,
it was obvious that they were blue, the uniform of Chicago Police Department. But
right, right.
It's remarkable. You were talking about CBS. Is that like...
Yeah, it's like WBBM in Chicago.
Yeah, okay, all right.
CBS 4 in Denver, yeah.
The reason I bring it up is because tonight on CBS, Katie Couric and company was talking about Harry and Louise are coming back.
Oh, no.
Only this time, they're for insurance. Now, there was a couple of comments that stuck out in my... First of all, the woman who was standing there representing the insurance industry had short blonde hair and is the same woman, I don't know her name, but I recognize her face. Last week, Oprah had a thing about Michael Moore's Sicko movie, and she was on that show. And it's absolutely amazing how these people that represent the corporations can talk for 5 minutes, and you sit there and you listen intently, and you say, what the hell did they say?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what are they talking about?
All right, now wait a minute. Harry and Louise are coming back. You don't mean, first of all, you don't mean the same two actors.
Yeah, I think so.
And they are advocating.
They're for insurance. Now, they didn't elaborate. There was two comments that stuck in my mind. Number one, they weren't going to spend nearly as much on the ads as they did the last time because, as the statement went, it didn't matter who was going to be the next president. They were going to see that some kind of law was passed for insurance. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? You better damn well believe that if they're for it, whatever law that they're for is going to profit them anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, this is the way they work.
So this is the insurance, it's an insurance...
Well, health industry, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's the insurance industry. It's their ad.
Yep. Can you believe it?
I haven't seen it yet, Marge.
Well, if you check the nightly news with Katie Couric, it was on tonight. You may be able to go back and find it. And
well, if it was on the news, it's going to be all over television eventually. I can't wait to see this.
Isn't it?
I guess this is the a preemptive shot by the insurance industry to save its own ass because we don't need insurance companies, health insurance companies. We don't need them. What we need.
Well, no, we don't need a for-profit anything. We need insurance coverage that's going to do the job.
That's right. And that can only be handled with single payer, with the government backing everything like
mm-hmm.
they do in France, like they do in a lot of English-speaking foreign countries.
Yeah, we're going to get somebody to say, what is your best price? And you're not going to make a profit on it. You're going to provide a service.
Right. And
you're
not...
going to get paid for the service, but you're not going to make a profit on it.
Right. And
oh, shucks. You mean the people are going to benefit? Imagine that.
And I didn't mean to presume that only English-speaking countries, along with France, are the ones who provide this for their citizens. There are a lot of countries that wouldn't know English from a sack of nails who provide government-sponsored health care because it's the civilized, proper thing to do.
Oh, is that the way that works?
That's the way that works.
Oh, God. Let me ask you a quick question.
Sure.
Do you know the name Steve Spoonamore?
No, I don't.
Well, there's that name and what's the other guy's name? Mike Connell. I was listening today on your friend, and he was talking about a website called VelvetRevolution.us.
Yeah, that's not, we had a caller on tonight who mentioned that, right.
And RoveCybergate.com.
Right. That was on Hartman's program. We had a caller tonight who mentioned both those websites.
Speaking of Hartman, he said about your interesting ride from the hotel to the affair Saturday night.
Yeah, I think I'm the only one who was in that that car that picked us up who hasn't talked about it. I understand Randy talked about it and Stephanie talked about it.
You had a Russian driver that went the wrong way.
It was a ride from hell. It was just unbelievable. I just haven't brought it up yet. Maybe I'll get to it.
What's more fun than when your friends get together and have a good time?
There you go. All right, Marge.
Take care.
Thanks a lot. We'll talk later. Thanks, Marge. I appreciate you checking in. See, I wish I were sane like Randy and Hartman and Stephanie Miller. And I don't know, maybe Rachel talked about it. I have no idea. But that ride from our hotel that KPTK graciously provided for us. And they provided car service graciously to pick us up and take us to the venue. And we wound up in, I don't know. It was awful. Sam Cedar and I were in the back seat with Hartman. And, of course, I was unarmed. Wasn't allowed to bring my gun on AirTran. So there was no way to kill the driver unless we attacked him and just, beat him to death. But it was a punishing ride. The women in the car were just... They were coming up with a plan, too, Randy and Rachel and Stephanie, on how to get this guy. But I don't even want to go there.
Do not go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Tom in Daytona Beach writes, I want to share this with you. He writes, Mike, prompted by your show tonight, I started looking at the history of the Bush, George W. Bush's repudiation of the ABM Treaty. I found something called the Fife Memo of 1999. Now, you remember Fife. That's Douglas Fife. This neocon legal brief, quote, finds justification that the new Russian government is not a party to the ABM Treaty. Remember, it was the Soviet Union that signed the ABM Treaty. And therefore, the treaty's non-binding. So in 2002, George W. Bush repudiated the treaty. Following the phony legal theory of Mr. Fife, SALT I and SALT II are not necessarily binding either. Perhaps Russia considered this ABM repudiation academic until Bush announced his attempt to put missile interceptors in Poland. In reality, George's attack on Ossetia was a staged event to motivate Poland to accept the blatant strategic provocation of improvidently placing such missiles in its own country, Poland. Russia, in response, is talking about renewing its fractional orbiting ballistic missile program, which would be a repudiation of the SALT treaties if they any longer mean anything. Tom in Daytona. that's very interesting. I hadn't heard of this Fife memo that said, look, these treaties were all signed when there was a Soviet Union. There is no Soviet Union. So, therefore, the Russians are not beholden. That will be our out. We can say, well, the Russians aren't signatories to the SALT I, SALT II, the strategic arms limitation talks. They're so old. Oh, my God, that just sounds like something from, Nixon? I have no idea how old those treaties were. So the neocons said, well, you know, the Russia is not the Soviet Union. So therefore, SALT I, SALT II, the ABM treaties, all this stuff are no longer viable. So we can do anything we goddamn please. And let's do it. So the next move was for the psychopaths who are in the Bush crime family to put up so-called interceptor missile sites in Poland, radar sites in the Czech Republic, and wherever else they can put them. God only knows what they had planned to put in Georgia, or for that matter, Ukraine. So the Russians, after being slapped around like, I don't know, the redheaded stepchild after the fall of the Soviet Union, Russia was just beaten into the ground, its ass kicked, humiliated by Western uber capitalists who came into their country and snatched everything they could get their hands on. And the country went down. The empire went down. Everything went down. And there's Putin, the former KGB operative, watching all this. And the Russian military. Do you remember the stories from the late 80s about the deteriorating Russian military? They couldn't even clean up the leakage from their nuclear subs. Remember the Kursk? Was that the name of the sub? In 2000, when I came back from Chicago and went to work for CNN International, I've said this before, one of the stories I did, it seemed like it went on for 2 weeks, that disabled Russian submarine, it was sitting not that far down, what, 200 meters down? It wasn't that far, I don't think, in the bottom of the ocean with the entire crew on board. How many people? 180? I don't remember all the details. But they slowly died. And it was a horrific situation for the Russians. Too humiliated to ask for help. And finally, was it a British vessel that finally came to at least help retrieve the bodies? Story after story after story of this once huge empire that stretched from the Pacific. Oh my God. From the Pacific all the way across to Europe, to Poland and beyond. This huge empire, humiliated, had its ass kicked. A lot of people say, and the neocons especially said this, and a lot of you right-wingers will say it too.
Well, they deserved it, the sons of bitches.
Why did they deserve it so much and the United States didn't? You see, I mean, we can get into that and argue all night. Well, no, I don't argue with neocon halfwits, but the only thing that is necessary, the so-called take-home from all this, is the fact that Russia was humiliated. And Russia is not the sort of country that will tolerate for very long humiliation. There will be a reaction. They're not like the United States. It's a whole different thing. They have a multi-millennial history. So the Cold War sort of ends, and the capitalists they just couldn't wait to declare the victory. They couldn't wait to swarm into the former Soviet Union, all the former Soviet states, including Russia, and just snatch and grab whatever they could and prop up real right-wing leaders who would allow them to snatch and grab. And I'm certainly not saying that Russia is a democracy. It is not. It is not. It is a totalitarian state, and it's becoming more and more totalitarian. But you know what? The Russian people are supporting it massively, massively. The latest polling that I've read, something like 80, I don't have the exact number, 80% plus of the Russian people support anything and everything that Putin does. When you have gone through a national humiliation like the Russians have gone through for the past 15, 18 years, and all of a sudden, because of oil and because of the wealth that's generated from that oil, all of a sudden, the leader of your country says, okay, we've been slapped around. We've had our ass kicked up around our shoulders. No more. We're not putting up with it any longer, especially not from what is rapidly becoming a failed state called the United States of America. We're not putting up with it. You want to send your military advisors and your nuclear facilities into Georgia on our border? That's not going to happen. But I do believe, I agree with Tom, who sent me the email, that the whole Georgian attack on Ossetia was staged by the neocons who told the Georgians to go ahead and do it. Yeah, go ahead. We're right behind you. And all that was done, the only reason that was done, or the major reason that was done, was to frighten the bejesus out of Poland. Because Poland, you see, was hesitating. Do we really want to put in these American so-called interceptor missile sites? Oh, my God, 10 of them? With the bear right across the border with Russia right there staring us in the face? We really want to do this? So Karl Rove and the neocons needed a provocative act. They needed the equivalent of September 11, 2001 in this country. Okay. They needed what they did to this poor, miserable bastard Saddam Hussein back in 1990 when April Glaspie said, President Bush really doesn't have an opinion about conflicts between Arab states, so Mr. Saddam, go ahead and do whatever you want. If you feel like you have a legitimate claim against Kuwait because they're stealing your oil, in your opinion, yeah, do whatever you want. Boom. By the Iraqis, and then boombity, 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 boom, boom, boom by the Americans. So here we go again. You know, once again, same thing. All right, Georgians, we're behind you. We're going to take you into NATO. You've got the full force of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization behind you. I mean, my God, we're fighting a war in Afghanistan. We're powerful. Go ahead. Ossetia, my ass. That's part of your territory. Breakaway Republic, bull hockey. Go ahead. Take back your national territory. Russians in there? Screw the Russians. Attack. They'll flee. And the objective? The objective was to scare the bejesus out of the Poles. Because when the twins who recently ran Poland, extreme right wingers themselves, were voted out of office, the new regime was a little bit hesitant. Like, I don't know, missile facilities in our country? That's going to piss off Russia. So they needed an event. They needed something that would make the Poles go, Surprise, surprise. They got it, didn't they? And now Poland has signed an agreement with the United States to place strategic missiles inside their country that will be aimed at, well, where do you think they'll be aimed? Feel better now after almost 3 hours of the Malloy program tonight? You don't? Well, I'm sorry. I'll try to do better tomorrow night. Thanks to the crew tonight, the production crew, Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Ben Birch, creative staff, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, Sharon Gordy, and our executive producer, Catherine Bay. Um, I've got to figure out a way. I've got to learn how to transcend all this stuff, like Stephanie does, like Hartman does, like Sam does, Sam Cedar, like even Randy does. You know, transcend it. Come on the air. Do a program. You know, pick a topic. Have a guest. Not get hysterical. Not fleck foam all over the mic cover here. And just chill. Like, you know, adopt a more Buddhist attitude of just taking note of the catastrophes and incipient disasters and the chaos and the madness. Take note of it and don't internalize it, because it's just part of the flow, right? It's just part of the energy that's flowing by. Just light flowing by, like the Moody Blues said, you know, light. It's all just illusion, you know. Why pay any attention to it? I wish I could do that. I really do. I really do. I wish I could do that. But maybe in order to do that, you have to really. I'm not kidding now. Perhaps in order to do that, you have to be. You have to live in a monastery, and spend most of your waking hours in meditative activities, if not actual meditation itself. Just completely divorce yourself. Well, I don't live there. I don't live in Nepal or Tibet or someplace up in the Himalayas. You know, I live here in the buckle of the Bible Belt in Atlanta, Georgia, USA, and I'm really concerned and I'm upset, and it comes out in the program. It just comes out. But I'll try to do better. Kent in Norway writes about the Kursk, the Soviet submarine. Kent writes, it was in fact Norwegian Navy divers who first descended to the Kursk to look for survivors when finally the Russians accepted outside help. I remember, Kent writes, there was a minor scandal later when it turned out the divers had been told there was no radiation danger, and the Russians actually already knew there was radioactive leaking taking place. Kent in Norway. Thanks, Kent. Yeah, a part of that massive humiliation that was visited upon the Russians. And if I remember right, Kent, the reason that they had to rely on a Norwegian rescue vessel is I think the British part of it was the Brits put up the money. Was that it? I know there was something about finances. The Russians couldn't even afford to rescue their own people. Now, I may have that part of the story screwy too, but there was something about the finances that the Russians just, they either hadn't built such a rescue vessel because there was no money, or they couldn't afford. Whatever it was, the bottom line was, for the 10 years, 12 years, 14 years after the collapse of the Soviet Union, it was humiliation upon humiliation visited upon the Russian people. Not to mention the Russian government. And love them or hate them, respect them or deny them respectability, you know, it's your call. They were the evil empire, weren't they, for 50 or 60 years? When you think about all the death and destruction caused by the United States and Russia during the so-called Cold War, all the little surrogate wars that were fought all over the planet, all the thousands and tens of thousands and millions of people that had to die, because of the economic and political competition between the so-called Soviet Union and the so-called United States of America. When you think about all that, you want to say, God damn them both, don't you? I mean, I do and have. Huh? So, evaluate the Russians as you will. But I think it's really important for us to keep in mind the not just humiliation the Russian people experienced, but the utter collapse. When a system collapses the way the Russian system collapsed, and all of a sudden there are no schools. There are simply no schools because there are no teachers. There are no retirement for people who fought what the Russians called the Great War. There is nothing. There is nothing. Nowhere. Yeah, because their system sucked. I understand. But that, you know, take away the politics. Look at the people. Take it away. Take away our politics. Look at the people. Geez, Malloy, you sound like you're about ready to break out marshmallows and graham crackers and let's all make s'mores and sit around the campfire. I'm sorry. I really am. But when you take a look at what the Russian people have endured, and then you have a leader like Putin who comes along and says, uh-huh, okay, enough. Enough, goddammit, enough. And then acts on that. The United States is doing what? They're going to build missile sites where? They're going to put up radar installations in what country? They're sending military advisors to whom? You're kidding me! They're doing that? What would we have done? You know damn good and well what we would have done. Under any president, Democrat, Republican, liberal, psychopath like Bush, it doesn't make any difference. Think about Russian missile batteries and radar stations in the Maritime Provinces or Newfoundland or Canada or Mexico or Guatemala or, oh, I know one. How about Cuba? What would we have done if the Russians had placed missile batteries in Cuba? Ooh, you can look that one up, can't you? I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.